the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this service. Happy New Year. I hope you are mightily blessed in 2021. If you're new with us, we're so glad you're here. Please go to the homepage of our website at the end of this service and fill in the Let's Connect card so that we might get to know you a little. As Diane told us last week, we won't be celebrating communion today. We're going to leave that until next week, so you've got a whole week to get prepared with the elements. As I was preparing for this service today, I stumbled upon this piece of writing. I was quite moved by it, and I thought maybe it would speak to some of you. It's called Welcoming a New Year. A new year stands on my doorstep, ready to enter my life's journey. Something in me welcomes this visitor, the hope of bountiful blessings, the joy of a new beginning, the freshness of unclaimed surprises. Something in me rebuffs this visitor, the swiftness of the coming, the boldness of the entrance, the challenge of a year's goodbye. Something in me fears this visitor, the unnamed events of future days, the wisdom needed to walk love well, the demands of giving away and growing. A new year stands on my doorstep. With fragile caution, I move to open the door for its entrance. My heart leaps with surprise. Joy jumps in my eyes, for there, beside this brand new year, stands my God with outstretched hand. God smiles and gently asks of me, "Can we walk this year together?" And I, so overwhelmed with goodness, can barely whisper my reply, "Welcome in." Let's light the Christ candle together, welcoming God here with us. Would you join me in our call to worship today? A new day has dawned, a new year begun. O Lord, call us so we may hear your voice. The world turns to hopes and dreams of the future. O Lord, keep us in your ways and on your path. We enter this new year with hope and excitement. O Lord, remind us that you lead us. Guide us as we look to you and worship you. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. Gracious God, you share with us words of hope and good news, but sometimes we are unable to hear them because the source is too familiar. You call us to share the good news with those around us, but sometimes we are unable to share because the people know us too well. You encourage us to send messengers to other places where they will be heard better, but we can be jealous, wanting the good news to be for us, not for them. In the multitude of ways we can and have subverted your message of freedom and healing and have left the path of true wisdom, we call upon your grace to lead us and get us back on track. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, this is the time of God's favor. God's grace continues to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, good news to the poor, and freedom to the oppressed. We live as loved, forgiven, and free people solely through the grace of God. This is good news, and so God's people say, Amen. Our reading for today is from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was known, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of God. Happy New Year, everyone. Here we are, 3 days into what may actually be the most anticipated year in modern time. For most of us, 2020 will not go down in the history books as our best year ever. And if the people that I'm talking to are any representation, most of us are looking forward to this new year with a degree of cautious hope that it might be better than last year. At New Year's, there is always this sense of looking ahead, isn't there? Looking forward to what the new year might hold. And that seems to certainly be so more this year than ever. We hope that with this turn of the calendar, life might begin to head off in a bit better direction in these days and the months to come. As we begin this new year, we do so with a reading from the prologue that comes from the beginning of the Gospel of John. In his own words, John concludes his Gospel by saying that he wrote the whole thing so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Well, when he wrote the prologue, John seemed to have that purpose very clear in his mind. He began by setting Jesus at the center of the story, and not just the story of Jesus' life, but at the center of God's story, the whole story of God with humankind. John refers to Jesus as the Word, and he tells us that he has always been with God, and in fact, has always been God. John builds this critical foundation for our faith by telling us that Jesus is actually God in living, breathing flesh, and that he has come to lead us towards the life God has always wanted for us. He also points out that not everyone welcomed Jesus. Some couldn't or wouldn't see that he was God, and so they rejected him. It's not really any different today, is it? Well, in the whole reading, verse 14 is probably the best known verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or as it is said in Eugene Peterson's more contemporary version of the Message, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. This idea of God coming to live, to dwell amongst us, it's not a new idea. It's always been one of God's most important promises to his people. In the story of Exodus, we actually hear God tell Moses to have the people make a sanctuary so that he could dwell amongst them. That sanctuary was actually the tent of meeting, and God's presence would come to dwell within it, appearing as a pillar of cloud by day and then illuminated with fire by night. The Israelites kept the tent of meeting with them throughout their travels, erecting it wherever they made their camps. When God's presence would engulf the tent, they knew that God was with them, leading them through all of the uncertainty of those years. Well, the word dwelt that we have heard in our reading today is intended to draw our minds back to that tent of meeting. We're meant to understand the connection and to see that when Jesus was born, God had come to dwell amongst his people once again, just as he had during those wilderness years. This time, though, God came much more tangibly, still completely God, but somehow also completely human. For centuries, God had been promising to pitch his tent amongst his people once again. A number of prophets had spoken of God's promise to live among the people. It is a central aspect of who our God is and of the life that God promises us, that it will be a life that we get to live with each other and with God all together in loving community. This is the life that God has for us even now, which means that an important part of that life must be our assurance that God is here with us. So, I think it's entirely reasonable to wonder, how can we know that? If God truly is real and truly is with us, then how can we tell? The ancient Israelites had that pillar of cloud and fire at the tent of meeting, and the people of Jesus' time had him physically there sharing life with them. But what about us? How can we recognize God's presence with us here today? Well, I think if we want to answer that question, we simply have to pay attention to what John says about Jesus in this prologue, particularly what he says at the end of it in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. John is saying that Jesus shows us who God is and what God is like. So if we want to recognize God with us, we need to be watching and listening for things that seem like the kinds of things that we see and hear from the stories of Jesus' life. Because Jesus has both told us about God a lot, but he's also shown us God himself. So learning about him is absolutely vital if we want to be able to recognize God with us today. Which I find really interesting, because people who have difficulty accepting that Jesus is God often take exactly the opposite approach from the one John suggests. I know that for a long time I did exactly that. I had these ideas about what God was like. They were based on my past experiences and things I'd seen and heard over the course of my life. And when I looked at Jesus, well, he didn't really match those ideas that I'd shaped about God. And so I drew what seemed to me to be an obvious conclusion, that he must not be God then. I don't think that I was unique in this kind of thinking. And by John's acknowledgement that even in his own time, there were people who didn't receive Jesus, it would seem that that thinking is not a new development. People have been measuring Jesus against their ideas about God and finding that he doesn't fit for a very long time. Well, this is actually part of the brilliance of John's prologue. He shows us that approaching Jesus in that way doesn't work. It sets us off in completely the wrong direction, and consequently, it doesn't lead us to the life God has for us. If we want to find that life, we need to set aside the preconceived notions we all have about God and instead let Jesus show us who God is and how God is. Let him shape our understanding. Let him do what he came to do amongst us, to make God known, as John has said. So, back to the question, how can we recognize God's presence and leading with us today? Well, most simply, and most importantly, we watch and we listen for things that seem to have the same kind of character as we see in Jesus. If someone's actions seem rather like him, then it very well may be that God's Spirit is moving in and through that person. Jesus' character has lots of aspects. Reading those four accounts of his life gives us a good sense of who he is and what he's like. He embodied so many life-giving qualities like kindness and peace and wisdom, of course, love, and patience. And the list, you know, it could go on and on. But today, since we are with John, it seems to make sense to focus on the parts of Jesus' character that he highlights. And he picked two specific ones and draws them to the forefront. He mentions them twice in this prologue. He says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then, just three verses later, he points to them again. He says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Of all of the things about Jesus that John could have highlighted in this introduction, he found it important to focus on Jesus' embodiment of both grace and truth. Well, that would suggest to me that watching for evidence of those things is probably a great place to start as we try to recognize God around in through us. How are we seeing grace lived out? How are we seeing truth revealed? And even more profoundly, and sometimes more rare, is there a way that we are seeing both grace and truth embodied and woven together? When we see examples of this happening, of grace and truth shining through, we're wise to pay close attention. For they may very well be signs God is giving us of Christ's presence with us and of the Holy Spirit's movement in and through us here today. Friends, will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we begin this new year, having survived the roller coaster that was 2020, we humbly ask for you to make your presence with us known. Show us that you are with us and teach us how to recognize and trust this. As your people did through those years in the wilderness, help us learn to follow your leading and trust that you are bringing us through these uncertain times to a brighter future, and with that, a fuller experience of the life you've promised us. We pray all of this in the name of the one who has and does dwell amongst us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, will you join me now as we pray together to lift our joys and our concerns to God? God of wonder and mystery, God of the stars and the universe, God of winding ways and straight paths, we gather today with gratitude for the gift of your constant presence and your trustworthy guidance. We thank you for loving us despite our inability to respond fully to such love, for caring for us despite our challenge in caring for others, and for daring to walk with us despite our short attention spans and fickleness. You lead us forward, guiding us by the teachings of Jesus to seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God, and we thank you for this. The promise of your presence with us, even through it all, is almost too much for us to take in sometimes, but it is because of this promise that we come to you now, praying for your movement and care for this world. We pray that you would lead us to peace, Lord, the kind of peace in which we're able to find richness in diversity, to embrace the challenges and growth that can be found in adversity, and to discover joy in the unlikeliest of places. We pray for all those who are lonely, that you might lead us to reach out and be friends. We pray for those who are hungry, that you might lead us to offer sustenance. We pray for those who are lost, that you might lead us to give hope and direction. We pray for the countries of this world, that we might find a way to work together to overcome the challenges facing all nations in this year ahead. We pray for our leaders nationally, provincially, and locally, that your spirit might guide them to set an example of working together rather than against each other. We pray also for our denomination, that we would do our part in building up the body of Christ and restoring the unity you long for us. We pray for our leaders at General Council and here in Pacific Mountain Region. We thank you for their steadfast guidance and wisdom as we make our way through the challenges the pandemic has brought to your church. Please give them the grace they need to continue their work, and may they continually seek your spirit in their lives and in their daily decisions as they lead us. We pray also for ourselves, that we might continue on this journey, learning the lessons you offer, seeking your presence and leading, and living as you would have us live. These prayers and hopes we offer in confidence and with so much gratitude for your love and your promise to always be with us. We pray together now as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you again, friends, for your faithful giving to the work of St. Stephen's. Will you join me now in our offertory prayer as we commit these gifts to God and to God's work? Loving God, you are never far from us. You are as close as our breathing. We recognize you as the one who heals the wounded spirit and gives new life to the brokenhearted. We offer these gifts to you, O God, as a sign of our commitment to your grace and authority. Take us and use us and all that we have, so that the kingdom of heaven will be realized on earth through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go now in peace to love and to care for one another in the name and in the Spirit of Christ. And may the Spirit of God, which filled John and Jesus, fill your hearts, souls, and minds. May the power of God, which upheld them, strengthen you for each new day. And may the love of God, which directed their every action, be your guiding light and shining star, both now and forevermore. Amen.